99 Radio Clashes, blah, 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 blah. Hello and welcome to Radio Clash 99. This is the first of the San Francisco specials. This is part one, and this is These Guys Are From England.
This is Radio Clash.
I want to run. I
Hello and welcome to Radio Clash. That's Where the Streets Have No Name, I Can't Take My Eyes Off You by Pet Shop Boys. There is a reason for starting the San Francisco special part one with the Pet Shop Boys, is because on the first night I got there, jet lagged as I was, I had a free guestie from Eric Kleptone. Thanks Eric. And so I actually got in to see the Pet Shop Boys at Civic Auditorium, I think it's the auditorium, which was a great show. They played that, and it was an experience to behold, to be in San Francisco with having the Pet Shop Boys sing away. And the whole, pretty much the whole audience, which was kind of 2/3 gay men, quite a lot of hot men actually, surprisingly, and I think 1/3 women, just singing Go West. And it's like, that was a moment to remember, definitely. And it was a bit like, can the rest of the trip kind of surpass this? Is this the high point? And it was one of the high points, but there are many high points during that trip. I've been back about a week and a half, and I've been kind of getting over... Sorry, it's been about a week and a half since the gig. I've been back since Friday, so that was... I've been back about 5 days, and it's been a bit of a kind of a get over the jet lag. My sleep cycles have been all over the place. They naturally go a bit mad during the winter anyway because of seasonally acquired depression and all that. I think I've mentioned this on the show before. There's something very special about this show as well. It's the first show ever recorded on mini disc. I bought a mini disc, a high MD deck, when I was out there. So I'm still getting to grips with some of the things. And I think the automatic gain control, when it overloads, obviously sounds a bit odd. So, I got back on Friday, early morning, and then immediately went to the podcast con, which I'll talk about in a little bit. The set at Booty was very, very good. I did the main room, if you're listening to the feed. Good one. Later in the show, I'm going to have kind of a recreation of my main room set that I did. So that should be high quality. I've not actually heard the audio from the feed. I'd love to hear the feed. A few people were recording it. And met a lot of the San Francisco bootleggers, and there was a whole crowd of us. So this part is going to be my main room set, an interview with either, depending how I edit it, Eric Kleptone, if I can fit it in. No, that's a long interview. It's a 2-hour interview with him, because we crashed the Web 2.0 conference. He managed to sneak me into the closing drinks, which was brilliant. So talking to all these people, like the heads of MySpace and, you know, all these startup people. And I met Psycho Fan Jeff. If any of you are Dawn and Drew fans, you'll know who Psycho Fan Jeff is. Very lovely bloke from LA. And it's usually something like $5,000, £3,000 to get in, and I crashed it and drank their wine and ate their cannabis for free. Ha ha ha. But it was, he was speaking at the conference, having a go at the sort of vice chairman of EMI, which apparently went very well. I'd love to hear the audio of that. I'll have to check out the website, see what's up now. And also, I interviewed him for 2 hours on that Thursday night, and met up with lots of the San Francisco bootleggers and UK crowd, and a lot of people on Friday. Then did Booty on Saturday, which was very good. The back room was kind of mixed. We had some really good bits where people were dancing, and then we had some bits like mine, which scared people and made them run away screaming for the doors. I wasn't intending it to be that way. I was just doing my DJ Nono thing, and things like Super Cali Breaks, kind of, I played twice just to check. Didn't really get them going. So that was a slightly odd. We'll talk more about that in part two, where I'm going to have interviews with each of, I think pretty much each of the bootleggers, and then have bits of their sets, because I recorded all the sets on my mini disc, my newly acquired mini disc, which I bought off Paul Puri in San Francisco. I've got all that coming up, and an interview either with Eric Kleptone or AND later in the show. I haven't talked about Podcast Con. I wasn't really going to talk about it because this is the San Francisco show. But between this and the 100th show, as Kurt calls it, which is not going to be recorded until about a week this weekend, so December 2nd. So I don't know whether I'm going to do a sneaky show 101 and then release show 100 separately or something, because there's loads of music I want to play, loads of music from San Francisco, some of it which I'll pepper throughout these shows, some of which I'll put in future shows, because the Jarvis album is out. I just bought that today, and Tom Middleton's done the trip too again. That's always really good. And I bought The Coup, I bought Ivor Cutler, I bought Venetian Snares, several Venetian Snares albums, Bong Ra, loads of and some Negative Land, which you will hear at the end of the show, because it's kind of a U2 theme. So but not the one you expect. Oh no. So anyway, PodcastCon was pretty good. That was this Saturday when I arrived back, and it was loads and loads of podcasters. I even met up with one of the bootleg scene, Twinkle Boy, who is now doing podcasting. He was a great laugh. I met up with Scott and the Night Nurse crew. Sadly, a lot of them were a bit mashed up from night before. About two of them were, and they left. And then Stefan left, I think, in the sort of late afternoon. But actually, the drinks at the end were the best part of the whole thing. That, you know, that was actually worth going for. The actual conferences were, well, there's a big debrief on my website, which is mutantpop.net/radioclash. There's a big blog about it. Have a look about my feelings. It was very corporate, very much selling things. The conference panels didn't have enough contradicting views. So the music panel, they're all talking about Podsafe music, and they're all on the side of angels when it comes to, you know, being anti-PRS, but there were lots of PRS scare stories, which I knew to be not, well, I'm sure in their case were true, but generally not true, since I have been cease and desisted by the PRS, and I have actually gone 2 years, touch wood, and not had a single email or anything about anything I've played in the show. So I wanted to talk and put my hand up several times through each of the conferences, and didn't get called. So I found it a bit kind of non-interactive. I know it's probably better than the speaking thing, but if it's going to happen next year, I think they need to make it a bit more unconference-like, or a bit more kind of open, or maybe run several conferences at once or something. I don't think it's, or maybe have seminars or little forums or something. They did have an open session, but I think that would maybe more useful, because I didn't think it was that interactive for a new media sort of podcast blogger related conference. You expected everyone to kind of like chip in or at least have their say, and as I say, there wasn't enough discussion. Lots of talking from people asking questions. It'd take several minutes to ask a bloody question and be plugging their own shit in it and thinking, stop advertising to me. So it was all like plug, 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 all the way through. And, you know, I just found that a bit odd, really. I didn't want to be plugged to. I found it a bit kind of a bit much. But I did actually get interviewed by Jill Mills, who's very nice. She's working for Pod Show, as is Rob. You can now publicly say that. Rob at the top of the pods is a Pod Show person. Which was an issue, like, but no, I thought, well, they're interviewing people at the conference, I'll get in there. And we managed to have little signs. I put a sign behind the Night Nurse crew while they're doing their podcast, saying, hello, Mum, and Scott said, I am a gay, which is funny. And also there was the Stealth Disco dancing, which you'll probably see on YouTube. If not, check out my blog, I've got a link to it. There was this team of people going through the conference, stealth discoing people and filming it, because there was a lot of little cameras and not filming going on. And then I got them back. I got Scott and Jen, regular Jen, back in the evening at the pub, and that was posted. So there's a response, and that was done by Twinkle Boy. So it was, and I got very drunk. And I do have some very drunken ramble podcasting, which you'll probably never get to hear, because it's just embarrassing. But there is a podcast you will possibly hear, which is me, Twinkle Boy, and Scott doing top 10 for Top of the Pods, top 10 misconceptions about gay men, and it's incredibly X-rated, so I'm not exactly sure how he's going to edit it or if he's going to release it. I do hope he's going to release it, because it was very, very funny. I think Top of the Pods needs an X-rated feed, I think. Some of the shows it does. And yes, as I said, I had a good time in San Francisco, catching up with friends and bootleggers and DJing and doing all kinds of sorts of things. And I was totally surprised when I arrived to be asked to do a half-hour set in the main room, because I thought it was going to be Eric Clapton in the main room, and we had the back room all night, which sounds a bit dodgy, I know, but the back room, the upper lounge, or whatever they call it. And we decorated it with all the sort of, Steve and Joff who organised this. They wanted to put up posters. They put up things like Banksy's, you know, the Terrorist of Flowers, a lot of Viz stuff, but also I suggested Pink Union Jacks, so we had those up there, and they organised that, and Union Jacks and stuff. So it was sort of like decorated as a sort of British room, and they had the Bastard. They managed to get the Bastard logo from Cartel Mike with the Cartel blessing, so it was Bastard USA, and with the posters, it was brilliant. And so I actually surprisingly got a slot in the main room, which I wasn't really sort of prepared for. So I'd played a lot of the commercial stuff I was going to play in the back room on the main floor. So I was there sort of about half an hour, 10 to 10:30, and started with a Who Boys track, Revolutionary Borellas, which of course is a revolution with Televise versus some drum and bass versus... I assume it's their production, versus the California Uberallas by the Kennedy. It seemed very appropriate. It's a very short track. So that kind of like the floor was a bit clear anyway, because of the previous tune. And then I put that on, and surprisingly it didn't clear that much. And then I immediately whacked in the Push It Slut 2006, which I knew would get them back again, and it did. And then there's a few up and down points, but pretty much I had them all the way through. So it was a really good set. And I finished on Burn Your Radio. So I'll see you shortly. I'll see you in about half an hour.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. Lose yourself, lose yourself, lose yourself, lose yourself. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution, the revolution, the revolution, the revolution. The revolution, the revolution, the revolution, the revolution, the revolution, the revolution, the revolution will not be televised.
California, some booty, baby, I just wanna shake it. It took more than 9 months to make it.
My crazy dude, they fit just right. They squeeze my booty really tight, so that when I shake and dance, there's a party in my pants.
Fuck the pain away. Just like that.
Yeah.
How you ain't gon' fuck?
Yeah.
looking, smelling, feeling like a million bucks. Pass the bottles, the heat is on. We in the huddle, all smoking that Cheech and Chong. What's wrong? The club and the moon is full, and I'm looking for a thick young lady to pull. One sure shot way to get him out of them pants. Take note to the brand new dance. Like this. When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah. Hey, DJ, bring that back.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah. Hey,
go on with your big ass, let me see something. Tell your little frick you can quit me mugging. I'm lit and I don't care what no one thinks. But where the fuck is the waitress at with my drink? My people outside and they can't get in. We gon' rush the back door and break them in. The owner already pissed cause we sorta late. But our time and our clothes gotta coordinate. Most girls looking right, so I'm looking a mess. That's why they spilling drinks all over your dress. But Louis Vuitton bras all over your breast. Got me wanting to put hickeys all over your chest. Stop. Come on, we gon' party tonight. Got dudes mouth to mouth, bring the party to life. Don't be scared, show another part of your life. The more drinks in your system, the harder to fight.
When I move, you move. Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, hey, DJ, bring that
Chris
back.
Crystal, make him.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, hey, DJ, bring that back.
Shut us down, get us out so someone can gun us down. We was two songs away from getting some good up. Now we one song away from tearing a club. Move over, Luda got something to say. Do it now, cause tomorrow ain't promised today. Work with me, let's become one with the beat. And don't worry about me stepping all over your feet. When I move, you move. When I move, you move. When I move, you move. Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
What you doing, Mr. Make you?
Just like that. Like that. Just like that.
burn, Hollywood burn. As I walk the streets of Hollywood Boulevard, big and hard it was for those who starred in the movies portraying the roles of busters and maids, slaves and hoes. Many intelligent black men seem to look uncivilized when on the screen. Like I guess I figured you to play some jigaboo on the plantation. What else can a nigga do? And black women in this profession, as for playing a lawyer, out of the question. But what they played as your mama is the perfect term, even if now she got a perm. So let's make our own moves like Spike Lee, cause the roles being offered don't strike me as nothing that the black nigga used to earn. Burn, Hollywood, burn!
I hope you enjoyed that. That was my main set mix that I did for half an hour in the main room at Booty. You'll hear some of the tracks spread that I played in the back room and prepared for Booty, spread across all of the different parts of the show, probably. I'll probably release those at some point soon, but you'll hear them here first. And some you might actually never hear again. It depends how I feel about releasing them. I'm kind of ambivalent about releasing stuff and posting stuff nowadays. Certainly, if it's released anywhere, it'll be released on the blog, the mutantpop.net/artists. There's links to various TBC, Instamatic and DJ Nono. But I'll let people know on the Radio Clash blog, which is mutantpop.net/radioclash, when I do. So I'm now going to play an interview I did with Eric Kleptone of the Kleptones in his hotel room. That's on the Thursday after we crashed the San Francisco Web 2.0 conference. I hope you enjoy.
Hey, what's up with the ladies and gentlemen this evening, you dig?
Pin them when I'm one, pin them when I'm two.
Love.
Just let me tell you now.
Why don't you gather around me, people, and sit down. Let me lay a story on you.
When I had you to myself, I didn't want you around. Those pretty faces always make you stand out in a crowd. But someone picked you from the bunch. When you glance was all it took. Now it's much too late for me to take your second look. Oh, baby, give me one more chance. Won't you please let me ask in your heart?
Let's talk about bootlegs
in San Francisco and not
about things that my mum is not going to like me.
Yeah.
So my mum is a big Radio Clash fan, and I don't want her to hear this.
Really?
No.
Edit. While doing the washing, yeah.
Yeah,
it's good washing up. I've been told that.
Yeah,
it's
good washing that's up. What I say, it's good washing up. Good washing up.
What Mark Vidler said, good washing up.
You should start doing IDs, like that guy did earlier on. I like listening to Radio Clash when I'm doing the washing up. I like listening to Radio Clash when I'm separating, like balling my socks.
listening to Radio Clash when I'm splitting the atom.
Yeah.
Yes. But no, so I mean, looking forward to Booty. What do you think is going to be cool? I know we've talked about this before, but
I'm so looking forward to it. So looking forward to it. I mean, for you know, you read so much about it, and Adrian and Deirdre hype it so well, but it's just, I mean, after having played LA on Saturday, they were, you know, which is a smaller night, but the crowd are awesome. They're really, really good. It really surprised me.
Yeah.
Everyone is, it is everything that they say it is. You know, it isn't hype. It's, they're just being totally straight up. And I think their enthusiasm is so infectious. You know, they really know that they've managed to find a really good crowd.
I've always got a soft spot for them because they gave me, even though I didn't let on at the time, they gave me my first big break. And, you know, not London, it was San Francisco. And it's kind of,
but that,
it's a cool crowd.
It's cool. I'm really, you know, I can't thank them enough for letting us come over and do it.
Yeah.
And it's quite a, an untested thing, like, so, because this is still a lot of people that haven't really heard us DJ before, so they're really unsure as to what they're going to get. And like I said to you before, you know, some people think that what we do, the Clapton stuff, is on, I mean, it's not intended to be dancefloor material. It's not the modus operandi of making it. We don't make it thinking, oh, this is going to sound bitching in a club. We make it anything, but it sounds good. If it just happens to work in a club afterwards, then it's an accident. Yeah, it's not meant to work that way. But having said that, putting together a DJ set, a club set, it's got an ear for that. You know, I'm not going to play. It's going to be a little bit more banging. I'm not going to play stuff that is.
You're not going to do Yoshimi set.
No, but that's the sad thing, actually. Yeah. Really, I can't get any of that stuff in there.
I was listening to that. I mean,
it's all too slow.
I have to say, are Flaming Lips the San Francisco band?
Oklahoma City.
Because I was listening to My People, you know, in the morning.
That's the most. That,
and I was wandering around North Beach. And I was just thinking, this is just the San Francisco soundtrack.
That's quite. I mean, the sad thing about that track is that it has the fast sections at the start and the end, and then it has the slower sections in the middle. And I don't really want to edit it into a kind of dancehall friendly version. That's
because
not
that's
really
the
fair.
That's the beauty of the track.
Exactly, it's the contrast between the two sections. Yeah. So a lot of stuff has gone straight out the window. It's like, no, we can't play that, can't play that, can't play that.
But as I was saying before, that, I mean, Careless and the Dead, I was surprised that became a booty
really,
hit.
That's it, that's really freaky. That's really, but that's quite reassuring because it's a whole, you know, the idea of a slow dance at the end is, I mean, I used to remember slow dances at the end of discos that I used to go to when I was a kid. And, you know, the first, pretty much the first decent snog I ever got was a slow dance.
Christmas Day when your mama got your first bite. Type of feeling when you went and won your first fight. How your team felt, win a championship game. Celebrate in a huddle, dancing in this rain. Have a thought, see a shooting star across your screen. Put in hard work, finally you're living your dream. Deaf man get his hearing now, here come vibes. Blind man gain his sight, see his first sunrise. Dumb man speaking out, now he's loud and clear. Birthday your child smile, so proud you wear. Going in your third eye for nostalgia here. Making music that'll bump for 1,000 years. Eating right, feeling conscious like help was first. Said a prayer that's sincere and you felt it work. Times I feel I wanna shout, man, it's real that way. When I think of things that make you feel that way.
And open source and all that sort of stuff.
But I think there's room for a balance there. I mean, even CC Mixter runs, you know, like Fort Minor remix contests and stuff like that. I think, as with anything else, I think there's room to have a balance between using CC material and convincing the majors to chip in a bit here and there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're still taking what we can get at the moment, just little bits and pieces, little crumbs from the table.
Some people like you know, Mia and Mia's label Get It.
I want to see somebody dump a whole album, and it still hasn't been done. It's close.
Well, Jay-Z did the acapellas, but not the instrumentals.
Yeah, I wish. You know, and anyone wants to fucking dive in for an instrument with 99 problems. That would be just so good. Not without having to cut it up. But I want to see someone dump a whole album. I know I think it was Todd Rundgren did one in the 90s that had a DVD that allowed, or a CD-ROM that allowed remixing, broke down the component parts. But someone really should, you know, a band is going to do it, and it's just makes.
Well, it worked for Jay-Z with his acapellas. I mean, he got
lots of rap acts do that. Due respect, but that really did get a lot of attention. But lots
Hence
of
the Grey album.
Yeah, but lots of. But I want to see someone do more than that and actually break out the whole parts of the album.
That would be good.
But not just one tune, not for a remix contest, not the for any lot. Particular reason, other than to make a remix site. Because I always get it, I always think this is, it's always cheapened when people make it a contest.
It's like, can't everybody do it?
Why not just put the parts up and let people remix it?
Yeah.
You know, that is enough to attract people to the site and maybe sign up on your mailing list or whatever it is that you're trying to get people to do. You don't have to make a competition out of it. You know?
You don't want to win an Audi.
Generally, or a pair of Lily Allen trainers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right. You know, what the attraction to people is not in the prize. The attraction is in the content.
Yes,
absolutely.
It is.
So let people have the bloody content.
You've got to let people play, let people interact.
Yeah. And I think, although it also really upsets me, and this was something that didn't, you know, there's nowhere near enough time in the discussion this afternoon to get into my new tie, but one of the things that really upsets me again about contests is they don't follow through.
Yeah.
Lily Allen remix contests. Where's all this? They said in the contest, we're going to put the best tunes up on the site and people can listen to them and vote on their favourites, and Lily's going to pick a favourite and blah, 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 blah. None of that shit is on the site.
Well, like they said with the, I think, the Bowie one, they were going to release a tune. Nothing heard of it since.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
remember who won that. And it's like,
that makes you feel, as a user,
they're being patted on the head, like condescending.
Patronised. Yeah, you know, it is really condescending. It's like, oh, we just wanted to. All they wanted to do is get your names on the mailing list.
Yeah,
you know, it's just, and that is not.
All they wanted was a wanky soundtrack for their birthday party in Hoxton. Yeah. That's what they wanted.
It just doesn't really. It doesn't.
That's as far as it'll go. Like some Shoreditch dive, we'll get to hear it in some sort of media.
I mean, the content attracts.
True.
And that is so, like, put it up. Well, somebody will do it. Well, like I said, some band somewhere, whether they're an indie band, independent band on an independent label, or whether it's a major label, but someone somewhere, you know, it's what I wanted for my Life in the Bush of Ghosts.
Yes, I did a few things.
But we got a couple of tracks, and they weren't the two tracks that everybody really wanted.
Yeah,
they were two of the slower, weirder tracks rather than two of the more up-tempo, funkier tunes, which was poor choice on someone's part. And the parts were really difficult. They just dropped the whole wav. So you might have like a percussion track, which had like a wood block on it, and they give you like a 48 meg wav that maybe has 20 seconds of woodblock three quarters of the way through. So it's a really uneconomical. It just hasn't been properly thought through. They've just copied the WAV. The masters are fair enough. You've got to be grateful for what you get. But
it is crumbs.
But at the same time, you're kind of aware that this is not really been. Nobody's really thought how this is going to be used. If it's your mind. Couple of the things that I've done recently that I don't know, it's kind of tentatively is there, and there might be a new album in there, might not be a new album in there, and it's the result of doing a lot more stuff on Ableton.
Yeah.
And it's because I've always wanted to do a down tempo album, but not strict, just something that's a little bit more stripped down.
Yeah.
And not necessarily go for the big hip hop breaks and just do something where there's almost virtually no drums in it.
That would be good. Have you heard the Sparks albums, the recent ones, last couple of albums, where they've
bits and pieces of them.
They've basically stopped using drums altogether.
Mm.
And it's like, they don't use drums on their tracks. It's all built up on
just layers of rhythms on the
synths, occasional guitars, and vocal layers. Little Beethoven and the last one, I forgot, is Hello Young Lovers.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But when it works, it's like, oh my God. Especially, they did this one called Baby, Can I Invade Your Country? And it's just this non-stop, and it's asking for it. It's asking for a remix, asking.
No, they were great. I saw them at Electric Picnic. They were awesome. Dicking around. But it's, I find it really strange. Some of the things, like I did a thing that I played last night at the CC Mixer thing, which uses a band, a cappella, the band.
Yeah, the band.
A track called Lonesome Susie from music from Big Pink. And it's probably the closest I've ever done to something which is, it probably is out of tune.
Hmm.
But it just sounds right with the instrumental that goes underneath it. And it's got a really minimal, very slow hip-hop backing track underneath it.
Yeah.
And the backing track goes major minor.
Yeah.
Like four bars major, four bars minor. Which is always a death sentence when it comes to
putting
a cappella.
It's a bit like Beach Boys, Hello. Yes.
But it really locks just about with this in feel with this Beach Boy, with this band, a cappella. And I'm just like, just gnarling over it for ages and then thought, no, fuck it.
Yeah.
I think it creates a real tension because it's just about holds the tuning
together. That's why I love it.
It gave a real feel to the track that you probably wouldn't have got if it had been perfectly in tune all the way through. It actually gave it a lot more of an edge. But that and a couple of the other tracks that I've done recently, I played at CC Mixter, Behind the Wheel, Depeche Mode.
Yeah,
with Little Black Flowers That Grow in the Sky by the Manic Street Preachers.
Wow.
Which is just acoustic guitar and harp.
Yeah.
And it's just a loop all the way through, and the a cappella most a cappella of Behind the Wheel.
Yeah.
And it sounds fantastic. And I love the loop from the Manics track. Actually made a track years and years ago, a band I used to be in that was based around that. Breakbeat track that was based around that loop. I'm making these things and thinking, there's definitely something in this. I don't know what it is, but it's just a conscious effort to try and use almost as little as possible, but still make a mashup out of it.
A bit like Martin Hannett with his production.
Yeah, rather than throwing in, loops and more drum loops over,
as much as I love
more stuff over that,
as much as I love, and I do love Earworm, I love Lou Embusido, there's sometimes they get into this thing of like, you're thinking this is a little bit like, let's throw the kitchen sink, let's throw more in, and most of the time it works. I mean, usually they could make it work, but it's like sometimes you think, actually I just want something that's not so much like a little bit of this, a little bit, it's like I just want something that is just different, but just flows and doesn't have like everything in it. And and it's funny what you're saying about it works even though it's slightly not there. Is the stuff that I'm really digging, there's a guy called Jeff Scons, people are coming from more the I think probably maybe maybe what Girl Talk is trying to, the area that he's trying to get into is the more kind of the Negative Land cut up scene, art scene. They don't give it, sometimes it's like, ow. But they don't seem to care so much about the fact that it might be out of tune or might be slightly out of time. But it's more about almost like the feel.
It is. It's the feel. If the feel is there, then, and that's, I mean, I think I'm finding it quite tricky because I've got these four or five tracks that have definitely got a feel to them.
Mm.
But it's a very unusual... even on the foot, like Behind the Wheel is, about 125 BPM, but you play that with no drums and you can make it feel quite slow and quite strange, quite eerie. Ambient is the wrong word, mellow is the wrong word, down tempo is the wrong word. It's just a more stripped down sound.
I know what you mean.
And it's very, I'm finding it, the downside is that it's really difficult to find songs that work
without any.
Just yeah, I mean, what, another one I used is like, and this was kind of the start of the set that I played at CC Mixter, is a blend of Moments in Love. Wow. With Rock On by David Essex.
Excellent.
And a Jamie Foxx hip hop instrumental and a Quantum rap a cappella. And I've still got them in parts, so I was just kind of jamming it and playing them out. But it just creates a really weird, especially like the Quantum over the top of the David Essex groove. Is incredibly it's just so spacious and so strange.
I think the thing about a lot of mashup artists is that they're trying to make a common whole. They're trying to get two tracks or more together, and they're trying to make them work.
Well, that's it. I think it's a reaction against that.
Yeah.
So also, a lot of the stuff on 24 Hours is really dense.
Yeah.
And for me, it's quite nice to come out of that and do the exact opposite.
Yes.
And say, okay, well, I'm going to make a track and it's just going to be a couple of loops and an a cappella, a couple of riffs, not even full band drums, loops or anything like that, and just see how far you can take it. It's almost like going back to a kind of sort of Steve Reich
minimalism
feel to it, and it's starting to really grab my interest. I'm really starting to, so now I've done three or four of them. They're not, you know, these are not DJable tracks, but these are the, like, anti-DJable tracks.
Yeah.
You put these on and people are going to fall asleep. It's really interesting to rather than just throw more that's good, but it needs beefing up, it needs another drum loop over the top, and it needs more production. Yeah. It's the opposite. It's saying, how little
can I get away with
exactly. And still make it a mashup? Well, so all of a sudden there's a challenge there. And that's what for me. What it's like? Okay, that makes an album.
Yeah.
That makes a potential album. That's something I can now roll with that idea over the course of 50, 60, 70 minutes.
That would be good.
And see how far. And then, you know, but it's kind of looking to see how. I don't know if a theme is going to present itself, how the fit some spoken word into it, and just think. Are we going to get a theme, or is this just going to be a nice collection of tunes? I'd like to do another nice collection of tunes because I don't really know thematically what to do after 24 hours. But nothing's presented itself. Nothing's jumped out and gone, this is the next thing.
To say yes to one instant is to say yes to.
One of the ones I really liked of yours, which is the from JA, was it?
Detroit.
JA, and it's like, I always get it the wrong way around. and that was kind of almost like a greatest hits compilation. But I really like that because it's almost like you're like going, there isn't a theme, I'm just going to do these things.
I mean, it was done for the rinse, so it was kind of predominantly pushed as a radio mix, so there's lots of radio references in there. And it was also done over a really short space of time. I did that like in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Over a Christmas, to hit the deadline. I mean, I had some of the tunes were like there in sort of demo, but I really worked solidly, for 2 weeks. I had Christmas holidays, so.
But maybe because you worked in the same period of time, they do it in a weird way. They do seem to have a theme, even though they don't have a theme.
Well, I think it's,
they have a same,
it's
similar
aligned
feel.
It's the Kleptones album least downloaded.
It's weird because it's got one of my favourite ones, which is juxtaposed with Rhythm, which is just like, why doesn't people play this?
It's good fun. It's really good fun. I mean, for me, there's things on that, like the Bowie one, I think it's great, really rapping something. I DJ.
Girls of Fun Again.
Yeah. I really love the Marvin Gaye one. Let's get on with Digging in the Dirt.
Yeah.
I think his. Those two are almost played with virtually no edits. I think there's only maybe one edit to the backing track just to get an extra bar, an extra verse in there to match them up. And that, but the interplay between the vocal and the backing track is astonishing. I'm just sitting there listening to it and going, huh?
Live
Sometimes the simplest ideas.
No, totally. I think this is the other, is something else which I'm kind of moving away from, but a lot of the Kleptone stuff predominantly has very little edits, you know, yeah. To the back. If it doesn't need it, I'm not going to chop up and be fancy with it.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, you know, they're not just A plus B bootlegs. They're real, genuine. Almost both tracks played side by side.
I used to always get that levelled at me when I did my.
I don't think you should see that as a criticism.
People say, "Oh, well, that sounds like you're playing two records at once." And it's like,
well, we talked about this last time we did an interview. It's like, why the hell, you know, do if it works, it works. And I think people should be applauded for stuff that works that well without having to do anything to it.
Exactly.
You know, as opposed to it being, you know, criticised. Oh, you haven't. Somebody did that with one I was reading about recently, and I was like, that is so unfair. That really is so unfair because, you know, if you get two tunes that lock,
yeah,
then you know that is well done. That is genius.
Well, we were talking about that at Tranny Shack about numbers versus time after time.
Exactly. I mean, they're not even in the same key. But Numbers has virtually no melody at all.
Yeah,
it's just a rhythm, but it totally locks with time after time. It's got the time after time. It's got just about enough of that sort of, and because time after time is done to a drum machine,
yeah,
it's totally locked down, and you can play the two tunes together, and it just about. I mean, Numbers, you really could, to do it properly, you really need three decks because Numbers isn't long enough.
Yeah,
you have to cut out time after time before it goes into Computer World 2. But the two tunes just sit there comfortably side by side, and there's, you know.
But I thought the real genius is actually spotting that.
It's not exactly.
I can cut it up more. That's probably the reason I didn't like the Grey album. It's almost like too much editing.
But everyone's got their different styles and stuff like that. But I definitely don't think it should be maligned. You know, people should not be criticised for tracks that just sound like two tunes played together, because after all, that is what really a bootleg is, you know? Yeah. But it's gone beyond that, but you don't have to throw everything in the kitchen sink in there. You don't have to prove your editing abilities unless the track demands it.
Though I've started kind of actually remixing stuff, almost intentionally doing that, intentional cuts between switch back because it's almost like I want that almost that old school vibe of like you think slam slam slam
well yeah
slam.
No but that's something, I mean, moving from using Acid predominantly to using Ableton predominantly, you do suddenly get a different mentality. Things, you know, you are, despite the fact that the software is quite transparent, you are just to an extent influenced by
you're always influenced by the sequencer you use.
Yeah, and so now it's, I'm suddenly moving into the Ableton years. I'm coming out of the Acid years and going into the Ableton Kleptones years.
Sounds like something that Doogie Howser should have been.
The Ableton years. So but again that's creating this stripped down layered sound. That's going to be quite interesting to see how that kind of translates if I do a live album, when I do the live album, because that doesn't really work so well when you hear someone.
No,
when you hear it played back, it's great in a club because, you know, it's really quite, it's quite harsh and it's quite effective, but it doesn't always translate too well to, you know, home listening.
It's a bit like, why are you playing with the mid range? Stop it! Stop it! Stop it at once! Slap,
yeah,
slap.
Totally. But But we'll see. I mean, when I get back, that'll be the... I'll start editing together some of the sections for the live album and see what... Just see what it comes out like. I've still got to decide whether or not to use other people's tunes in it.
Other people's tunes? Oh, what do you mean?
Other people's mashups.
Yeah.
Because I'm still... I don't know how to present it.
Yeah, because that was a real danger of when you had, like, Freelance Hellraiser and the Soul Wax mix things. You go online, they're all tagged to Soul Wax, even when it's not theirs.
Yeah, and also...
It's cheeky. It's not really
their fault. And also people using other people's mashups and stuff like that, like the one that... I won't say got my goat, but it made me... raised my hackles a little bit, was the Hexstatic. Hexstatic did a mix which used Lance Lockarm's Spaceman 3 and Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And they used, basically took his bootleg and then whacked a house beat over the second half of it. So it starts off really, that's a good example of minimalism, because it's just that ecstasy instrumental by, and he does that great pitch changing thing where it goes into the middle eight, which is so awesome. It's like it sounds like he's done it on a deck. He just kind of pitches it down and then pitches it back up, hits the 33 at the right moment. So cool. So cool. I mean, I love that. It's one of my favourite, I think, mashups of all time, because it's just nothing to it.
Well, I played,
it's so inventive.
I've played Shotlicker a lot as well. Yeah, I love Shotlicker.
Hexstatic just totally ripped it. And
just added the beat and then...
Added a beat and put it out as their own...
That's
their own mashup.
Very naughty.
And I don't even think Lars Lockarm's heard it, because I've never seen any criticism of it. But I thought that was a little bit cheeky. So I'm a bit wary about the live. I like putting other people, because I've also edited stuff. Other people's stuff that I use in the live set, I edit it and chop it up. And I don't want to annoy anyone. But I also want to make sure that if I do use other people's stuff, that they get the right credit for it. I don't want anyone thinking. You can't, like, hold up placards while you're DJing and saying, this is not a Kleptones mashup, this is somebody else. But on the album, you know... I'd like to give people due credit, but without making the album cover look really horribly messy.
As we found, without naming names, people get very touchy when people redo other people's work.
I
can understand it's a pride thing, you know, someone takes it and they do a better job, or they just change it and maybe do a worse job. It's like, oh.
Well, no, totally. I mean, there's a couple of mashups that I've heard that I wanted to play in my set, but for one reason or another, whether the production wasn't quite good enough.
Yeah.
One in particular that I really love, I'm not going to say what it is, but the vocal isn't loud enough. It's really annoying, because it's an awesome a cappella. It's an awesome mashup, but it's and a really good, really danceable, friendly one. But the vocal is way too quiet and just gets buried in the mix. I've heard it played out, and it doesn't work. There's a mumble in the background where it should be quite strident. And I got so tempted to remake it, but I didn't. And so I'm not playing it. I just found, and it really annoys me, because I knew that I could.
But it does happen quite a lot. I think people
could make a version of it. But I wouldn't even credit it to myself. I'd probably credit it to the people that made the original match.
Well, I think that happens quite a lot. People credit it to the original person, but then they re-edit it or change it.
If anyone's going to get upset about that, I mean, that is Pot Kettle Black again, isn't it, really? You know, you're taking someone else's stuff without permission. Right, shall we
wrap it up now?
Yeah. Jeez, I don't know any of that is usable.
No, at the end it is.
Can't bear talk to you mom. Keep telling me lies, but to your surprise, I got something for y'all. Since you're caught out there, I hate you so much right now.
I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find out more about Radio Clash at mutantpop.net/radioclash, or you can email me at radioclash@mutantpop.net. As I say, this is part one of a probably three show special from San Francisco. The next one will be about the focusing on the British bootleggers, interviewing each of them in turn and playing bits of the sets and playing a bit of what I played in the back room or the upper lounge, whatever you want to call it. And part three will be focusing on sort of more the SF bootleg scene and have an interview there, also a special interview with A&D, depending how I edit it, I don't know, or Eric Clapton, depending on what fits better. But the it's a world of uncertainty because I'm recording this before I edit it, which is kind of a bit kind of like, yes, let's kind of just work backwards for a minute. I'm going to finish out with a classic tune. This is from the album These Guys Are From England, Who Gives a Shit, which kind of, and it ties in with the sort of the, this developed a U2 theme in this show. I don't know why. You might hear a special quote about that. But this is from a sort of live bootleg album about Negative Land. And it's on the Sealard Records. It's kind of like a semi sort of official bootleg, although Negative Land, I've got no problem with people actually bootlegging them. So they have a record and, you know, please sample us, please record us policy. And this is a special version of their famous U2 track, but it's called Long Distance Dedication Number 1 Live. But you might not have heard this version because it's actually using a different track to what they used in the... it's not using... I still haven't found what I'm looking for. So this is Tim signing off, and I'll speak to you soon again from San Francisco.
Now, we're up to our long distance dedication. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuckles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please.
I can't get no satisfaction. I'm trying to make some girl. Sock it to me, baby. Let's spend the night together, making love, light my fire. Give me what you got.
We're counting down the 40 biggest hits in the 50 states. Here's the first top 40 hit for the Irish band from Dublin who call themselves U2. That's the letter U and the numeral 2. That's the letter U and the numeral 2. That's the letter U and the numeral... That's the letter U and the numeral 2. Is that the way I say that? I don't know how to say it.
But they said there was something that got to them more than the words of the song.
That's the letter U and the numeral 2. The four-man band features Adam Clayton on bass, Larry Mullen on drums, Dave Evans, nicknamed The Edge, on... This is bullshit. Nobody cares. These guys are from England, and who gives a shit?
But they said there was something that got them more than the words in the song.
It's just a lot of wasted names that don't mean diddly shit.
But they said there was something that got them more than the words of the song. And was the beat.
1, 2, 3, 4.
The beat.
A 5, 6, count.
And was the beat.
2, 3. Everybody count the 6. 1, 2, 3, 4.
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hold the pressure. Hold the pressure.
Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Just a last goddamn time, I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying. So we provided the girls! It's fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous. And everyone who feels to be a hero, they gotta pull their clothes off. Step, dip it. Ponderous, fucking ponderous. A progressive step. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. And back to a basic step. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. And sock it to me, baby. Sock it to me, baby. Sock it to me, baby. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, fuck.
And it was the beat.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, oh, oh. The beat. And it was the beat. The beat. And it was the beat.
One,
the beat.
Two, three, four, five. Progressive step. Two, go. Four, five, six.
Oh, fuck.
One, two, three, four. Back to the basic step.
Right here on the radio station you grew up with. Music Radio 138. Oh, fuck.
So what's your final put?
Footage.
Have a good journey back.
Thanks, mate.
With you two in the background.
With what?
You two in the background.
Yes. Well, we'll have to... Well, we need to stick New Year's Day on, don't we?
Yeah.